As Harley-Davidson plots a new strategy for production overseas, the European Union is dealing with its own challenges around how to unite a divided Europe in a power struggle with the United States. Andrew Walker, BBC Economics correspondent, has the pulse on how players in the EU are responding to the trade war. Andrew, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
So as an American who's lived in Europe, I'm hearing about tariffs on cranberries, peanut butter, Levi's. What is going on?
Well, the European Union regards the action taken by President Trump against steel and aluminium imports into the United States as being unacceptable and inconsistent with World Trade Organization rules. They don't buy for a moment the president's suggestion that it's driven by concerns about national security. They think it's pure and simply trade protectionism. And so they are fighting back with a load of tariffs on a number of American goods. You've been talking about Harley-Davidson and the motorbikes, but there's a whole range of other things that are being affected. And there's an element of political targeting in what they're doing. So they're going for things that are iconically American to some degree. Harley-Davidson, but also Levi jeans, for example, bourbon whiskey. And they're also, I think, quite keen to do some damage in states that are politically potentially quite important in the upcoming midterm congressional elections. So just to take one example, orange juice, which is particularly associated with Florida.
Now, we have also seen the president, you mentioned this, threatening to slap a 25% tariff on all European automobile imports. What's been the reaction from European auto manufacturers, and how important is the U.S. market?
The U.S. market is certainly important for some, but don't forget that some of them, and the classic example of this is BMW of Germany, do make a lot of the stuff that they sell in the United States in the United States. So those would not be directly affected by any tariffs on car imports. They are, however, complaining about the increased price of steel and aluminium. I think, yeah, it would certainly constitute a significant, serious escalation of the conflict if President Trump were to go down that path, and it would be particularly troublesome for the German car industry. And this is another iconic industry. It's just iconic on this side of the pond for Germany. Its car industry is very much a symbol of its domestic and international industrial prowess, and so that would be a big aggravation of the tension, certainly as perceived from Germany, but I think also from the whole of the EU.
And of course, a year from now, with Brexit in effect, the UK will no longer be part of the EU as a member nation. Can we expect a bilateral UK-US trade relationship that leaves out the rest of the EU as a result?
That's certainly one possibility, although it remains the case that another possibility involves the UK staying in the customs union, or at least a customs union, with the rest of the European Union, which would then make it, to put it mildly, extremely difficult to have a separate trade agreement with the United States or anybody else. All that is very, very much up in the air. But certainly, for many people who support the idea of the UK leaving the European Union, one of the prizes was the idea of greater freedom to strike trade deals with other countries, most notably the United States.
Now, are there any clear losers or clear winners in the EU as a result of these tariffs?
Well, I think that the general point about tariffs is that consumers who buy the imported stuff are likely to lose. When you're thinking about orange juice, I suppose there's always the opportunity to buy from somewhere else. If you want to buy a Harley Davidson, there isn't really an opportunity, although Harley have said they're going to absorb the tariff. So those are important issues, whether you can find alternative sources for consumers. The losers in the EU, I suppose, would be, in terms of steel, we're looking at Germany, France and Italy are significant exporters to the United States. They'll suffer a bit for sure. They're also actually the same countries that are the main exporters of aluminium to the United States. But bear in mind, there's another issue that those industries are worried about here, not just having problems in the US, but the thought that steel produced in, say, South Korea, Canada, Mexico, that might have been going to the United States, facing new barriers, might get diverted onto the world market, forcing prices down, and some of it ending in the EU, so making life even harder for the EU's own producers of those metals.
We'll be paying close attention to this. Andrew Walker is an economics correspondent for the BBC, and thank you for being with us, Andrew.
It's my pleasure.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.